Okay. I'm a bad job. Had a rough day already. So I just want us to go to the Lord, leave everything that happened yesterday, the day before, the last week, whatever, leave that alone and just focus on God today, please, as I pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for everything that you do for us, even things we don't even see or recognize that you do. Holy Spirit, I need you so much today. Please come into my heart, Holy Spirit. Please, Holy Spirit, be welcomed at 6929 Day Street. Just come, make your presence known. We want to do what it is that you want us to do to glorify the Father. Lord, I just ask that you bless each and every person here that came today, the commitments that they have made, and the faithfulness. And we just trust that you're going to bring us a good message today with the pastor and good singing and praise songs from Don. And we just hope that we can allow ourselves to hear your voice today, Father. Help us not to be distracted in any way. Just help us to rely on you and to focus on you. Please station your angels around this building to watch over us, to keep us safe. Father, please help the homeless not be retaliating at all. Help us to get that window fixed and just help everything that needs to happen so we can take care of your building. Father God, we love you and thank you for all that you do for us in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit for a minute. I was looking at blasphemy of the Holy Spirit because I always thought it was if you talk bad about it or if you mock it, if you make fun of it, if all this stuff. Actually, that's not all of it. I was surprised, so I'm going to talk to you about that for just one second. Actually, when you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, you will not be forgiven, by the way. That's the only sin that you will not be forgiven for. And in that, it's every time the Holy Spirit comes to people and convicts them of their righteousness, which is a good thing, convicts them of their sin, and they keep rejecting, they will not be forgiven. Because you're blaspheming in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. It's what Jesus personally left behind for us to receive, to help us to live each and every day, to help us to focus and to do the things that we need to do for God. So it's not just talking, mocking, or... Now, I've heard people, too, on TV mock, like, somebody trying to speak in tongues. And that, definitely, that is mocking the Holy Spirit. That I would think that was unforgivable. I don't know. I'm not God, but he did say in the Bible that if you keep pushing him away, telling him you don't want anything to do with it, never repenting, never giving him a chance, that you will not be forgiven. Well, so you think, well, okay, well, if you're never going to be forgiven because you've pushed him away and pushed him away and pushed him away, what about the person that's laying on the deathbed? The doctor goes, hey, you're going to die within 2 hours. And they go, oh, Lord, please, I want to come in your kingdom. I don't know. I'm not God and I'm not the judge. He is the judge. But I know for one thing, I don't want to blaspheme the Holy Spirit at all. I don't want to make fun of it. I don't want to reject it. I don't want to not repent of my sins. I don't want to never hear from the Holy Spirit again. I want the Holy Spirit to be present all the time, every day. So if you're here today and you feel conviction from the Holy Spirit and you keep pushing him away and keep pushing him away, he says you won't be forgiven. I don't know why he wanted me to emphasize that, but I did. But we're going to read in the Bible today. My favorite thing. Oh, man, will you hand me my phone? Because I got to put my flashlight on so I can see. Oh, is it in there? My hair is wrong. I'm sorry. I'm a mess. I know. Is it not in there? I'm sorry, kids. I call you kids because I'm the oldest one here. Thank you, sweet girl. Okay. good. I know you're arguing, oh, he is just rambling on. No, I'm not. God's got something wonderful for us today. I promise you. I promise you. Okay. First of all, no, I don't want to answer the phone. We're going to go to Psalms. Let's see where it is. 27:1. I'm sorry. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Okay, this is just saying that this is a Psalms of David. That this is where we need to be, kids. This is where we need to be. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That says a lot right there. You know what? Okay, Psalms 34, 18. I think it's a little bit longer than that. I tore up all my papers, so now I'm going, duh. Say, get away from me in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Okay. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. That means left alone, deserted, squandered away, not to be seen. Okay, I thought those were good words. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry the Bible fell. I love your word. Don't take it personally, please. I'm telling you, the enemy's just, no, I'm going to give him ground to say that he's going to do something. Oh, God gave me some things to say. Oh, give me for a heart to love God more, to hate sin more, to walk more faithfully with God. Lord, do not deny me such a heart, whatever else you deny me. Give me a heart to fear, love, and delight in you, even if I must beg for my bread in desolate places. That means that you're in a very bad place. A lot of emptiness, bleakness that you think you're just not going to get out of. I want to stress this to everyone today. If I get loud, I get loud. I've got gastritis real bad, so if I get loud, it's the Holy Spirit. I want y'all to think right now in your mind, what is one of the top things in your mind right now that is causing a battle with you? It could be a person, it could be a situation, it could be finances, it could be just unhappiness, disbelief, trust. Let me assure you right now that all of your battles is the Lord's. Let's all say that. My battle is the Lord's. My battles are the Lord. All of our battles are God's. We have got to trust God. When did it happen that things start happening and we get anxiety, we get impatient, we get angry, feel like we're justified in our sin? When did this all happen? Where is the trust that we have in God our Father that loves us, that knows us, that knows every hair on your head? What has happened? What has happened? Is that how your life is? Do you, boy, I feel pumped up on Sundays. The pastor says something, and boy, it talked to me. And then Monday, you're in the car, and you're honking and cussing people out, doing sign language at them. You get to work, your boss gets on your nerves, and you just get annoyed. You go, ooh, I just hate that person. I just wish that he would just go on. You know, we go in the grocery store, and the meat is so high. I don't understand. There's still cattle around. I know there is, but meat is so high. Beef is like, it's like the most lavishing things that can be. Bread is ridiculous. $3 plus. I remember when my mom would have me ride my bike down to Little Dean's Quickie and get a loaf of bread. It was 25 cents. It's $3 plus. When did we start getting so impatient when we go, God, I really need this position here in my office. I need to be higher up. I need to be getting paid more. What happened when we go, Lord, I really want to get rid of this sickness. Why aren't you doing it? Do you know that being impatient is a sin? Let me tell you why. Being impatient is, number one, you get fretful. You get anxiety. You get, I've already said impatient. You get where you just are unsettling. You're nervous. I do all those things. I do all those things. You're not the only one if you have anxiety or whatever. I do. But it's just saying, God, you know, I trust you, but I don't trust you with everything in my life because this right here didn't come true yet. And I really need you to supply my needs. We do that with everything, with our sicknesses, with our spouses, with our house. I left my house today because I was so sick yesterday and today. Laundry. I've got to fold all the laundry. I didn't even make my bed up because I had to wash the sheets. And I went, what is wrong with you? But I didn't think I could move. And I went, God, please help me. I'm going to church today. I don't care. I'm coming to church. I don't care if I hurt. I don't care if I fart. I don't care if I belch. I know that's ugly, but that gastritis does that. I'm coming to church. So I get up here and the homeless people have food and cartons and bottles and backpacks and clothes and blankets strewn everywhere. And I said, God, please protect your church. I'm so tired of this. So I went in and got a big black sack and I went out there and picked it all up. And then Satan went, you know what they're going to do? They're going to damage your car or to the church because you threw all that stuff away. No, we've told them over and over and over, don't come up here. This is not your property. Go away. We've had to put up a fence to protect our property. We're having to get a new window that they couldn't put in the other day. We, you know, it's just something all the time. And I told Pastor, when I need to change my attitude, man, I am so frustrated right now. And I covered the pipes out there because I know it's supposed to get cold and the duct tape wouldn't come off. And I was going, ooh, I thought, hey, calm down. God's got this. Why are you upset? Why are you aggravated? Why are you letting things get you down? Do you not trust the Father enough? Since when can't you trust God with everything that you do? Everything. Everything is God's battle, not your battle. God will see you through every battle. And I know it says, you know, have joy when you're in these trials and tribulations. It's kind of hard when, you know, there's not enough money in the bank or you feel sick or you have a headache and you just feel like you can't do anything. I know it's difficult. God won't just take you out of it right away. If he wants to heal you, yes, he can do that. But what he does is he walks with you. He wants you to rely on him. He wants you to love him no matter what. And our trust and our faith have gone away. We're impatient with people. People upset us. And God needs our voice. God needs our voice, and my voice is a lot louder. I was a drum major for about 5 years, and I had to holler over 100 member band so they could hear me way in the back. I've always been loud. I used to think that it was bad, but you know, it's not. That's just me. God just made me that way, and it's okay. But since when do I get impatient when God doesn't do something I think he needs to? Who do I think I am? Going, God, why didn't you fix this? Why are you doing this? Why is it taking so long to see a blessing? I'm going through a drought. I'm going through bad times. Where are you? Do you trust God? Do you have true faith in him? Is it upsetting when somebody in your family dies? Yes. Is it upsetting when somebody is mean to you? Yes. But God wants you to love your enemies. You've got to love your enemies. You've got to pray for them. And don't pray that, oh, I wish they'd get hit by a car today. I would just love to see. That's not all I'm talking about. I'm talking about you pray, God, do something with their heart. Let them know you as their Savior. That's what you do. You don't. God will get revenge on your enemies. Trust me. He will get revenge. And he's a lot better at it than we are. And, so many people, I can't tell you how many, just in last week in Dallas, 6 shootings. I mean, what happened? Somebody gets mad at somebody else. I'm going to go pull my gat out. I'm going to bust you up. You know, what has happened? What has happened to the families that discipline their children, but they don't? I want to be their friend. No, they want a parent that disciplines so they know that they have boundaries that they don't cross because they know it because you love them. People will just let their kids scream and cry and, I mean, just go on and on and on and slap them and hit them. And God doesn't want that, but a little pow-pow on their butt never hurt any of my kids. You know, kids want to be disciplined. As well as we need to be disciplined. If we're messing up, God's going to discipline you. Is it going to hurt sometimes? Yes. Does it bring people in our lives and takes them out? Yes. Do we wonder why sometimes? God always has your best interests at heart. Always. Always. There's not one time that he went, ooh, man, I messed up on Brother Thacker. God, I can't believe I screwed up on that. I shouldn't have done that for him. I messed up. He knows everything that you think, what you're going to think, what you're going to do, what you're going to ask for, what sins you're going to do before you do. He knows your brain. He knows your thoughts. God, I'm spitting. I feel like a real evangelist now. He knows when things are going to turn iffy with you. But he wants to see that little seed of a mustard seed of faith. Does she really have enough faith to see me through on this? How many times have I gotten her out of situations? How many times has God got you out of a situation that you just didn't think there was any possible way that you could get out of? Numerous. Numerous. So many times that when he does answer our prayers, we're already asking for something else, and we don't stop to thank him for what he has done. But being impatient, being anxious, being nervous, I mean, it's just the day, it's the world we live in. We pick up a phone, we can Google, we can DuckDuckGo or whatever, and find out, you know, what George Washington loved to eat most. We got everything at our fingertips. You go into restaurants, everybody at the table, kids are on the iPads, teenagers are on their phone, parents are on their phone. There is no communication anymore. And they wonder why their kids act up. Kids want discipline. So as well as you should want discipline from the Lord, because you know the Lord loves you if he's disciplining you. Oh, I'm just so full of the Holy Ghost. I want all of us just to pray. Every time you come in this church, fill this church with your Holy Spirit, Father. Fill it. Fill us. We want to fill you. We want to feel your arms wrap around me. And you think, well, I've never felt that. Well, it's an inside hug when you feel so close to the Lord. It's a wonderful feeling. It's the greatest feeling ever. There's kids that are being kidnapped for sex trafficking. There's people, I go in the store and at least once or twice a week, I see a little kid by themselves lost from their mother and dad. And it just breaks my heart. I think these babies, how it would be so easy for someone to pick them up and take them. I think this is what God blessed you with, this baby. You take care of that baby. I hovered over mine like a helicopter. I know I drove them crazy, but man, they didn't. One time we went to Six Flags, And it was a Western shootout out in the middle of the crowd. And Greg said, Mom, can I go there? I can't see because all the people are taller than me. I went, okay, but you stand right there. And Josh goes, can I stand by my brother? I went, sure, you stand right there. And I had my eye on him. And then when the gun started going, I guess it scared Josh and he took off. I couldn't find him. I cried and cried. And of course, laid back David, he'll be fine. Oh, there's only a million people out here, honey. Why would he be fine? I worried and I cried and I prayed and I prayed. So I finally went up to the lost and found, not looking for a shoe or something. Oh, I've lost my son, and some precious lady had turned him in. But I wouldn't let go of him all the rest of the day. I held him like a baby. He was 5 years old. And David went, come on, let's go ride this ride. I went, nope, not going to. I'm going to sit right here with this baby. Chris, put Josh down and come right. Nope, not going to. I mean, I went about to let him go. You know, we just got to, whatever God has given you in your life, if it's a pet, if it's people that love you, if it's financial stuff, blessings or financial issues, whatever it is, it's God's battle. He has it. He's going to walk us through it. But getting all anxious and nervous and anxiety, and this isn't going to work out. It's not going to work out. How's this going to work out? Oh my gosh. What am I going to do? That's not having faith in God. That's not trusting God. It's going, God, you're not doing good enough. And since when has God not done good enough? He gave his son to die for us and rose on the third day for us that we may have eternal life. When is that not good enough? When is God not good enough? We have to have joy and hope and peace and contentment. But do not be impatient with the Lord. Do not be anxious with the Lord. God's timing is perfect. God's timing is perfect. Let's say that. God's timing is perfect. It's perfect. He doesn't screw up. He's not like a pencil. When you mess up, you can erase it. That's not how he operates. He knows what he's doing. He knows what's the best for you. And we've got to get that down in our soul so deep that when afflictions and conflicts come up, you know what? This looks really bad, but God, I know you're going to help me through this. That's what we got to do. That's what we got to do. We got to love each other. We get so mad at people, even at church, you know, we get aggravated. And I got aggravated about all that stuff out there. God went, this is my church, just pick it up. I put it in a big plastic bag, put it in the back of my car where I could throw it away. And then what does the enemy do? Oh, he's going to get revenge on the church. But I told Pastor, we've told him over and over and over and over, you are not allowed here. So hopefully God will protect our church. We've spent a lot of money because of homeless people. We put up a fence, a beautiful fence. It just needs some pit bulls in it. But I can't come up here every day and feed the dogs, okay? I can barely feed myself. But, you know, we don't need pit bulls really. You know, they get a bad rap. I'm sorry. I don't mean anything against pit bulls. It's just we've done so much to try to protect our church. But that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to protect our church. We need to start praying that God, the Holy Spirit is so thick in here that when we leave, it shines all over us and people are going to start coming in the church by the multitudes. We've just gotten, how do you say, like at a plateau, like, well, and I've done it too. It's just going to be this way. It's going to be less than 10 people and we're just going to be there. No. God wants this church full. What do we do? Number one, we pray about it. Number two, fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. Do not blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Number three, use your voice. Use your voice. Hey, I've got an answer for you. My Jesus can help you. Well, is he going to give me $1 million? I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't have to tell you that. I haven't gotten $1 million, and I've been pretty good, so I doubt if you're going to get it before I do. But no, I mean, we need to, our life needs to reflect the goodness of God. That's what we're here for. Amen?
Amen.
We are here to be disciples. We are here to tell them about the good news. God is alive. He's not on the cross anymore. He died and rose up the third day. He sits on the right side of God, and he is so powerful, but yet we don't trust him. Why? Why do we get flustered? Why do we throw our hands up? Why do we get mad? Why do we say things that can't be taken back? We have got to be cautious, people. We have got to be cautious. God is a jealous God. We can't put anything in front of him. We can't worship other things. We've got to worship only God. We have got to pray, fast. Have any of y'all thought about fasting? Fast, hearing God's word, pray for 2 days. Read the Bible for a week. Everywhere you go, take your Bible. I mean, we've got to be set examples. And we're not. We're crippled up. Because we're shy. We're introverted. We don't want, I don't really want to say anything, okay? Do you need prayer for anything? Okay, good. You know. No, God wants our voices. He wants us to talk about him. Just like we would a newborn. Or a grandbaby. Oh, they're so beautiful. They're so precious. They smell so good. God wants us to talk about him. Because he made you in his image. You are cutie pies, okay? Y'all are cute. Because we're made in God's image. We're beautiful. We're gorgeous. We're handsome. We're everything God wants us to be. But he puts responsibilities on us to listen. This is what you need to do. You need to open your mouth and tell people about me. You know, he may have us go on the corner one day and preach. I don't know what he's going to do. But if you're not open to the Holy Spirit, he's not going to use you. And I think that's pretty bad. If we don't open up to the Holy Spirit and let him tell us what to do, put us in circumstances today, God. Put me in a circumstance where I can help somebody. Let me tell them about you. If we're not doing that, you're not doing a good job. We have got to quit looking at all the negativity going on. We have got to start talking positive. You go, okay, well, Chris, I'm positive. I'm in the valley right now. Okay, but you know what? You're not going to stay in the valley forever. Flowers grow in the valley. You know, you're not always going to be on the mountaintop, because if you were, we wouldn't need God at all. But we can't do little God like little elf on the shelf. We can't just sit him up on the shelf and go, look real pretty right there, and if I need you, I'll get you down, okay? God has to be with us every single moment of the day. He's my bestest friend ever. He's with me. He loves me. Trust me, he says. Trust me. Quit being anxious over things. Things are always going to work out. Does that mean that we're not going to have deaths? No. We're all going to die one day. And I bet y'all cry when I die, because you're going to miss my loud voice. But, you know, that's part of life. We know that. We're going to die. But the thing of it is, we want to go to heaven and see our families. We want to go there. Please, God, let me go there. But what have you done? Where is your fruit? Where is your fruit? Can people see, well, okay, out of everybody at this work, maybe one or two people I think are Christian. You know, where is our faith? Where is our trust? We're putting it into people. We're putting it into sports figures. Hey, I like the Cowboys. I'm not lying. But most of the time they come on when the church is going on. But I'm here. I record it, and Jim will tell me what the score is regardless anyway, so I don't really have to record it. So, you know, hey, I like football. I like hockey. I like sports. You know, Dad wanted me to be little Steven. I don't know. Maybe I just like male things more than women. I don't know. You know, I heard that all my life. We didn't want to have any more babies, and then I got pregnant with you. You know what? Really? Oh, thanks. And then Dad, well, you know, we had a vasectomy, and you got Mary got pregnant. So I figured after three girls, you would at least be a little boy, and your name was going to be Stephen. Well, thank you. I feel so wanted and loved. I heard that all the time, over and over. Till one day I went, did you just not like me? What is it? I was born and I'm glad. I mean, you know, you can't, we say things to people that hurt. And it's hard to get those words back. It's hard not to feel rejection. It's hard not to just get down over things. It breaks your heart. And parents, I've done it before. Parents are bad about saying stuff when they're angry, you know? I'll never forget that one day that I told Kimmy she had to go with me and she didn't want to go someplace with me. And she goes, Mom, I'm not dressed. I said, I'm coming by the house. I had been at Anna Ruth's and I was going to take her someplace with me. And she did not want to go. She wanted to stay home and play Barbies or something. And she was like 12, I guess. She walked out of the house. And she went, I look stupid. She said a bad word. Oh, boy. My eyes gleamed on her. She got in that car and went, you know what? You don't look stupid. If I ever hear that word again, I'm going to beat your, you know what? Get in the house and you have to memorize five scriptures by the time I get back. And if you don't, you're going to be in big trouble. If I ever hear you say that word again, you're not going to like it. So after making her get dressed and all that, I made her go back in there, go to her room, clean her room, and learn Bible verses. You know, she didn't like me that day. She probably hated me, but she knew that I love her enough that I'm going to discipline her. And we all say bad words sometimes. Probably Pastor doesn't, but I had before. But I don't want to say anything bad. But anyway, it's not about me. It's about us and the Holy Spirit. So let's invite the Holy Spirit to come today and rest in our hearts and let us focus on God because He is so worthy. No matter what you're going through, what you went through last week, how bad you're feeling, how good you're feeling, how if somebody hurt your feelings, God is still worthy to be praised no matter what. No matter what, God is worthy to be praised. Dear gracious Father, we love you so much. Well, at least I hope you do. Holy Spirit, we loose you in here today to make a change in this church body. Help us to see, Lord, what it is that you want us to see and to receive today. Father, may we walk out differently because we're holy, Father. Help us to tell everyone about you. Help change our minds, our attitudes, our negativity. Help us to be the light, Father, the light that people can see that shines in us. Lord, we love you. We bless you. We thank you for how much you love us. In Jesus' holy name, amen.